your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, hockey fans. You're listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, as we bring you all the latest, greatest news, thoughts, feelings, breaking excitement all around the NHL here on this very show. Today's episode of Locked On NHL is brought to you by Locker Room. You can download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, it's changing the way we talk sports. Talking sports today on Locked On NHL is me, your host, Sarah Avampato, host of Locked On Kings, host of the Monday edition of this show, and I am joined, as always, by Tom Gazzola of TSN 1260, my go-to person for all things Connor McDavid and Edmonton sadness. We are here to talk about things other than Edmonton sadness.
I love it. Edmonton sadness.
Right? It's just unfortunately a fact of the world, I believe.
Well played. Yeah, you're making me laugh. I love it. So good. So good. Oh, great. Great to be back.
Excellent. I figured today on the show, we can take a quick look at the playoff picture as it stands at the moment. We've got a couple of updates on things that we had talked about previously on this show. And then we will start digging a little bit into the NHL awards that have been the award nominees that have been announced recently, because some of them are pretty interesting and already generating a fair amount of debate in the hockey Twitter sphere. So we'll look at some guys getting some nods for some awards on today's show. But in terms of playoffs, if you go up north, Montreal did the thing, and they swept the Jets, and that sure was, I'm going to be honest, I don't know anyone that had Montreal on their bracket. I sure didn't. I picked the Jets. I'm going to be eating some crow on that one, I think. But it's a fun Cinderella story for the Montreal Canadiens, and I know at least our team here from Locked On Canadiens is being realistic about what is happening, and they're just enjoying the ride because we all know that Montreal is going to face whoever wins the Vegas-Colorado series, which at the moment that we're recording is tied at 2 games apiece. After we record this show, there will be another game, so one of those teams is going to go up 3-2. It looks like it could be Vegas based off of how they're playing, but one of those two teams is going to play Montreal, and I'm going to guess that Montreal is probably not going to sweep them. I think that's probably a fair statement.
What if they did?
Could
you imagine?
I wouldn't complain. That would be hilarious.
What? And the crew at Locked On Canadiens, I mean, as they enjoy this journey, if you will, what a journey it's been. I'll say this, Sarah, save some of that crow for me, because I did not have the Habs winning that series, let alone in a sweep. And they just had an answer for everything that Winnipeg tried throwing at them. Now, the Scheifele play on Evans, that was monumental. And Blake Wheeler talked about it in a really, I thought, logical way. Like, of course, you're going to be emotional. You're going to be caught up in things. Yeah. And he wasn't playing the blame game. He went into the details. He said, all right, like, we lost Scheifele. That was huge, because all of a sudden you've got someone bumped up to the top line with him and Kyle Connor. Then that affects the second line and the personnel there. And then it affects the third line and the personnel on that line. And on top of that, you get into a different rotation and a different rhythm. Like, you have a plan of attack with the first two lines. And then he even went out of his way to mention the Adam Lowry line, the quote-unquote third line, and its ability to tilt the ice when the top two lines are intact and doing what they do best. That was nullified to a certain extent with the Scheifele suspension. So the dominoes fell after that play, and then you mix in the emotions, and then on top of it, it rallied Montreal. It seemed like that they got behind the Evans injury, and that really motivated them. And it spurred them on, and they've got this good mix of wisdom and older players that have been to the big dance and won the big silver trophy that everyone's chasing every year. And then they've got this youthful exuberance. We saw Cole Caulfield with the beautiful setup to Tyler Toffoli Nick Suzuki with the forecheck. Caulfield and Suzuki aren't big guys, Sarah, and they're in there with Poolman. And I think it was either Kopp or Lowry. I think it was Kopp who was the forward back in the corner there. And Suzuki fights off Poolman. Caulfield plucks the puck out of there. Quick pass over to Toffoli, and it's in the back of the net. So they've got a great mix. And then on the back end, those big, tough defensemen have been playing excellent, back to their form when we saw them in the first 10 games of the year. It's created this perfect storm and this great mix, and they've punched their ticket to the Stanley Cup semifinals. We cannot say conference finals this year, obviously, in this obscure, weird one-off season. And we'll see which team prevails between Vegas and Colorado. And it's weird, you know, as at the time of recording, only the home teams won in that series, and maybe things change out as of Tuesday night. But I swear Montreal is probably sitting there going, okay, like, take your time, guys, go at it, beat each other up, and we're going to heal up, and hopefully Jeff Petrie's hand gets better and all of that, and see you when you're ready. And then, by the way, the Canadian government gave the Canadiens and whichever team it's about to face, and then any potential Stanley Cup finalist, the green light to go between America and the U.S. freely, if you will.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting news, because I know that that had been a big topic of discussion of what's going to happen when one of these Canadian teams has to face an American team. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be able to go back and forth? Is there going to have to be a bubble? Are all of the teams going to have to centralize somewhere? And yeah, a big hand up from the Canadian government, which is of course putting in a lot of restrictions on whichever team it is that's coming to Canada, in terms of, you know, testing, in terms of they have to fly a private plane, which they would anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not putting the Golden Knights on Air Canada or something, and there's of course, you know, restrictions on, they basically can go to the rink in the hotel, and that's pretty much it. So doing the best they can to keep everyone safe. But I think that's a big relief for everyone involved to know that things will be able to proceed at least somewhat as normal.
Yeah.
When they have to go up to Canada. And I'm sure that, you know, Canada, the Canadians like that too, because it means that they will have some pretty, pretty good home games there for whatever is going to come next. That series, it's going to be interesting. And, good luck to the Montreal Canadiens.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. And that's amazing that they're going to be able to go to the U.S. A couple of things. I'm going to predict that the Canada-U.S. borders open by Canada Day, which is July 1st, and a couple of days, obviously, before July 4th, Independence Day. So I think it's going to be a good summer. Who knows if the Habs are playing by then. And then I love that you brought up Air Canada, because I don't know if this made the news reels and got into the news cycle in the U.S., but right now Air Canada is entangled in some controversy because their execs got paid off, or paid a bunch of bonus. I think it was like $20 million in bonuses after receiving government subsidies and reimbursements and stuff like that. And today we just found out that those execs are going to be paying back those bonuses. So you bring it up, Air Canada. I'm like, ooh, Air Canada. And on top of that, every Canadian team, last I checked, I know Vancouver veered away from Air Canada for a bit, flies AC Jets, which is Air Canada's charter line. And they do an exceptional job. Having traveled with the Oilers for 8 years, absolutely loved it. Great people, great service, but that's way different than the commercial side of Air Canada. So there we go. I'm done. All right, there we go.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a way different than my experiences with Air Canada, which has been none of my flights have ever taken off when they were supposed to, and sometimes got canceled without telling me about it. But, you know.
Oh, they do that. and then how about someone with the Borat meme with the Canadiens logo on his face, where he's like, uh-huh. I go to America.
And the Canadiens are just so, like, they're so earnest. They're so just happy to be here. They're like the epitome of just happy to be here. Yeah. Which is kind of fun, really, to have a team that is definitely the underdog in whatever's coming next for them to root for. If you are someone who doesn't have a team to root for in this, you know, the Canadiens despite the fact that they have about a million Stanley Cups to their name in the past, you know, have not been there in quite some time. And it'd be fun. It'd be fun to see. And yeah, if they could complete the Cinderella story of knocking off Vegas or Colorado, I think that would be, that'd be real, just real neat. So, real neat. You know, I'm rooting for the craziness there on that one.
We've got more coming up right after this, but right now let's talk all about Locker Room, because Locker Room is the newest social audio platform made just for sports fans like you. The app is free to download, and once you're there, you can talk with fans, athletes, insiders, writers, bloggers, podcasters, just real cool people, all about your favorite team or your favorite sport. You'll find people just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, big news, rumors, food crimes. We've been talking a lot about food on some of the Locked On Rooms because not all of us have teams in the playoffs. So really anything you can think of you want to hear about, we've got a Locker Room for. And it's a great way to get to know a lot of our podcasters. A lot of our hosts across the network are using it and getting to connect with their fans and with listeners. And I just think that's neat. So go download the free Locker Room app now. It's currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NHL group for the latest league updates. I know you're going to find a ton of incredible rooms all about your favorite teams, your favorite leagues, and I can't wait to maybe come across some of you guys in some of our Locked On Rooms. Again, download the Locker Room app today. Locker Room, it is changing the way we talk sports. And you know, talking sports, you use a lot of energy, you work up a little bit of hunger, and one great way to deal with that is by eating a Built Bar. Built Bars are great tasting protein bars. They taste like you're eating a candy bar, but they also happen to be good for you. Built Bars are high in protein, high in fiber, low sugar, low calories, and they're healthy for you. So even though you're putting something in your mouth that tastes real great, you're also eating something that is good for your body as well. Built Bars have 9 delicious core flavors like coconut, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, and many more. Plus, there are always some limited edition flavors, limited time only flavors of Built Bars, so you can always expand your horizons by going to builtbar.com and checking out all of the flavors that they have available. Go over to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com.
Our other series, I feel like a little more predictable, or at least a little less newsworthy, maybe, than what happened with Montreal. But we've got Tampa Bay and Carolina. Tampa Bay is up 3-1 in the series. Again, game 5 in that one is happening after we record. So by the time you're listening to this show, we could very well have at least one more team that has punched their ticket to the Final Four if Tampa pulls this off. And then New York Islanders and Boston. New York leads that series 3-2, and game 6 is on the 9th, which would be Wednesday. I'm excited. They have been good games. The Boston Islanders series has been way more interesting than I thought it would be. I feel like that's a series that I kind of, you know, wrote off as not being particularly exciting, but talk about come from behind wins and, you know, neat goals. Brad Marchand scored one that everyone was like, oh man, why did it have to be him? Why did he have to score that good goal? It's been way more exciting than I thought it would be. And I find myself actually tuning into those ones. So I'm sorry to Boston and New York for maybe trash talking you a little bit earlier in the playoffs.
Sarah, in regard to that series, could you imagine in game 6, the Islanders defeat the Bruins at the Coliseum? Mm-hmm. It's the last hurrah for Nassau Coliseum. I know it's been renovated and they kind of renamed it a couple of times, and they gave it, I think it was like New York Live or something, mm-hmm. was its last, but they were just calling it the Coliseum. And mm-hmm. I covered games at the old one, the old velvet, crushed velvet, beer stained, fermented seats and all that. Great atmosphere. So it's kind of neat to see this run that the Islanders are on in the building one last time before they move into their beautiful new facility at Belmont. And the other thing too about this series, if they pull this off, whether it's in game 6, game 7, whatever, if they pull it off, does it finally, you know, make the statement to the rest of the National Hockey mm-hmm. League that the New York Islanders are a really good team? Mm-hmm. Because it feels like they're the team that doesn't get the respect it deserves. Mm-hmm. And I had Craig Button on. I've been filling in on our morning show on TSN 1260. I had Craig Button on today, And I asked Craig about that, and he goes, well, look at what Barry Trotz has done. President's Trophy with Washington, mm-hmm. President's Trophy with Washington, Stanley Cup with Washington, wins to Jack Adams, goes over to the Islanders, they make the playoffs, beat the Penguins in the playoffs, go to the conference final in the bubble. Then they lose to the eventual Stanley Cup winners. Look at what they're doing now. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like, and it's not everybody, of course, but it feels like the general sentiment is people don't want to give the Islanders their due respect. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is that hey, look at me moment for the New York Islanders and them going, what's a guy got to do to get a little respect around here? and this could be it. This could really be mm-hmm. it. And they deserve it because they are a thorough team. They're not a sexy team, right? Like, I think mm-hmm. it's fair to say, when you think of the Islanders, Sarah, do you think and go, boy, that's a real, you look at that lineup and the names and you go, that is a juicy team. They are the marquee guys you're mm-hmm. going to see night in and night out in the bright shining lights. Not really, right? No, like it's just a solid lineup.
I definitely, you know, will admit to have underestimated the New York Islanders. And part of it is I just don't see a whole, it's like the reverse East Coast bias that everyone talks about. I just don't get to see them very often.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, and I think that maybe a couple years ago, they were in a position, you know, where Barry Trotz first started with them and they were maybe a little ahead of schedule in where they were in terms of playoffs and everything. But they have been very quietly grinding away. Like you said, this isn't a team that is full of guys who you're going to be seeing profiled on, you know, whatever sports program wants to be talking about the top players in the league.
Right.
You know, they're being led in some ways by like Cal Palmieri, who no one expected that. He had a good kind of end of the season and then sort of looked real rough. And now he's making big plays for the Islanders. And it's very much kind of scoring by committee there. They don't have a guy who is, they don't have a Mark Stone. They don't have a Nate McKinnon or anything, but they're yeah. getting it done. And yeah, it is a good point about Barry Trotz and like what he has done in his previous stops. And he's just a very quietly solid coach putting this team, you know, maybe a little greater than the sum of their parts of bringing all these guys together who might not be the flashiest names in hockey, but they're showing Boston that they are not to be messed with. It's sure something to watch. And I've been enjoying getting to know a team that I haven't really followed very much because you just kind of, I feel like everyone is just still sort of assuming the Islanders are bad.
Totally.
There's so many years of them being bad and we're all just like, oh, well, of course they're not great, but
it's the Islanders, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I think you nailed it. You nailed it. And it's just, maybe this is the aha moment where people are like, hey, look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're yeah. good. They're very good.
That'll be interesting. And then Tampa and Carolina are just, they're just fighting each other. The whole, like that series is just goals after goals after goals. Defense has seemed a little bit optional. Game four in the series was just, you blinked and you missed like seven goals somehow. At one point I turned the TV off because I felt like every time I was watching the game, Tampa would score. And I was like, I'm just going to go away. And obviously that didn't work because Tampa won anyway, but this series has taken some turns. There's been drama, there's been goaltending changes. And Tampa, you know, they're a team that before they won the Stanley Cup, everyone was like, well, they needed to learn how to lose essentially. And they have managed to master that now. And now it's just like nothing phases them. And they just I saw someone online kind of compare Tampa to the 2015 Blackhawks, because everyone who watched the 2015 Blackhawks kind of stumbled their way through the regular season, you know, myself included. At the time I was covering the Blackhawks and I was like, this team isn't going to do anything. Look at them. Like they limped to the finish line. And then they got to the playoffs and just suddenly were this juggernaut.
Right.
And it seems like we're kind of seeing that evolution from the Lightning of whatever the situation is, they're just going to push through it. And you don't know how they win that game, but they won it anyway. It just is unfortunate for the Hurricanes that they have come up against this Tampa Bay team that just seems to just always be able to figure out a way to win.
Yep. Yeah, it's incredible. The power that you possess when you know how to handle any type of scenario thrown at you collectively as a team. Again, spot on. Like that's where they're at. Tampa collectively, nothing phases them. And that's dangerous for every team they're about to face.
I feel like usually everyone assumes that the team that, you know, we're not going to have back-to-backs. Pittsburgh getting the back-to-back Stanley Cup was like a huge deal because it just never happens. But I'm starting to, you know, think maybe I shouldn't have been betting against Tampa because they
did you?
I mean, I don't indulge in the actual betting, but I certainly did some brackets with friends with a, you know, just some sort of friendly wagers on the line. And I, you know, I did not pick Tampa. I picked Carolina. And then that series started and I was like, oh no, I made a terrible mistake.
Oh, we all do it. Trust me. Yep, I picked the Oilers. I picked the Jets. I did not pick the Maple Leafs in the first round. I'll stick with that. That's my one good one, but I'm just as guilty, Sarah. Totally.
Right. It's just, we live and learn. And the Islanders and the Lightning, I guess that next season I'm just going to go with them.
All
no
in.
Matter who their matchup is.
All in. That's right. All in with those two.
We're going to close out our show after this, but real quick, if you haven't already, you should be going to betonline.ag. It is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action, which basically a little bird told me is all of the rage right now. Everyone is into sports betting, and BetOnline is there for you to help you get into the game. No matter what sport it is, if it's hockey, if it's baseball, basketball, fighting, horse racing, or even some fun things like reality TV, you can find all of it on betonline.ag. On the website, not only can you find odds, but you can also get information on sign-up bonuses, contests, and all sorts of sports news. So this is your chance to get involved, to get in on the sports betting craze. You can head to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag for a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And once you, you know, theoretically, hypothetically, win some money on betonline.ag, maybe you can consider investing it. But I hear what you're saying. You're saying if sports betting is hard, investing is even harder. And you'd be right. Investing is super complicated. But it doesn't matter if you are a beginner or if you are old hat at this. Wealthfront makes the whole process quick and simple just for you. They have the right tools for every portfolio. And the portfolios are created to your personal specifications. So what you're getting is something that will meet your needs. There's nothing manual. There's no picking of stocks. There's no sitting around waiting for your computer to go bloop, bloop, bloop at you to tell you that you need to sell a stock or something. Everything is handled automatically based off of the preferences that you control with Wealthfront. All you need is $500 to get started managing your investments with Wealthfront. They are trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. Again, to get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Again, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL and get started today.
Well, we will close today by taking a quick look at some of the award nominations that have been coming out because they are slowly trickling out in advance of the NHL awards in the offseason. And there's one in particular that I wanted to take a look at because it's one that always gets a ton of discussion. And that is the Selke Trophy for best defensive forward, however it is that you define that. Usually it goes to a center because that is just traditionally what has happened. Patrice Bergeron is one of the nominees. I believe has something like 400 Selkies to his name already.
Yes.
You know, I think he certainly has his own share of Selkies in his closet. Alexander Barkov from the Panthers is the other nominee, and Mark Stone from the Golden Knights, who is not a center and who is kind of becoming the guy to push his name into this conversation of being a very well-known, very strong defensive forward who is the guy to break through at not center. And so he seems to be the one who has finally gotten enough recognition to regularly get nominations for this. And I feel like Marian Hossa was kind of the last big guy who was a winger who would come up every so often in conversation for the Selke. But Mark Stone is just, man, I sure wish that he was not in the Western Conference.
He's so good.
He's so good. He is so like energetic. He is driving that team forward. Yeah. And he, watching him play, every time I'm like, can Ottawa take him back? Can we Can we trade him somewhere else? Because I'm really tired of Mark Stone just blowing up my team all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great rivalry, first of all. I love how that the rivalries between the Golden Knights and the Kings. Stone is an ex. That is a good team. And he, when they got that deal with Ottawa, I was just like, bravo, Vegas. Mm-hmm. Like, they are not messing around. But, like, this is a tough one. Mm-hmm. You got Bergeron, Stone, and Barkov. People in Miami and covering the Panthers have been clamoring about Barkov for a long time. I remember having Randy Moeller on my show the few times that the Oilers actually play the Florida Panthers, and he would be like, hey, Barkov is, he should be considered one of the elites of the elite in the NHL. And, you know, Randy played in the NHL. He knows. He's been covering that team for a long time. And I was still in my mind, I'm like, is this guy just kind of pumping up the tires of one of his own, or is this like legitimate? And Barkov, I think, you know, I think he made it absolutely legitimate this year. If, you know, it probably was, and not to take anything away from what Randy said, I don't doubt him for a second. It's it's been legit for a while, but now here is the recognition. And so I want to say Mark Stone is going to win it because of just the vibe, even though Bergeron's nominated for a 10th straight year and a finalist for a 10th straight year. Maybe this is just Barkov's time, given the year that Florida had, people taking note of what they were doing, him having an excellent season. Maybe they go, here you go, Alex Barkov. Like, you earned this. But I feel like Stone's going to win it. That's my take. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Stone has definitely been getting enough buzz and enough people have been talking about him in the context of this award that I would not be surprised at all to see him win it. And, you know, for as someone who likes it when unexpected things happen, you know, it'd be cool to see a not center win this award, because I don't know when the last time someone who wasn't a center won it, but it's certainly been, you know, we basically have been cycling between Anže Kopitar, Patrice Bergeron, and Jonathan Toews for the past, you know, 10 years or whatever. It'd be great to see someone a little different get his name on there. So I do think he has a really good shot at it, and he would probably be my favorite, but it is time for like people to recognize Alexander Barkov. He is somehow like one of the most underrated, really good players in the league. It's like everyone knows who he is, but also no one seems to understand how good he is.
Yeah.
And he's a guy who I know, you know, came up looking up to a player like Anže Kopitar, and, you know, watching those two play against each other in the times where Florida would match up with the Kings it's just always a delight to see two guys, you know, big talented centers go up against each other. And especially knowing that, you know, one, they've been compared to each other essentially, but I do think it's Mark Stone's to lose this year. He has gotten enough buzz around his name and just phenomenal. Like whenever he's not in the lineup, the Golden Knights are a different team, and he's going to be so good for that team for so long, and I'm just going to be miserable the whole time.
well said. He is the engine that makes them go to a certain extent. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And what do you think the reaction from people in Boston and Bruins fans would be if Bergeron does not get it and he gets snubbed?
Oh, they're just going to have a lot of feelings about it. I mean, we're already seeing a lot of feelings in this Boston Islanders series of like, does Patrice Bergeron cheat at faceoffs and all that stuff. You know, I think that they want their guy to win it every year, but come on, man, Patrice has so many of these. Do we need another one? I don't think so.
Oh, that is hilarious. Yeah. Well said. The games within the games, aren't they great? The chastising the officials, a nice $25K fine for Bruce Cassidy. And that was after Barry Trotz got things going. And oh, I love it. That's great. That's the fun part. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Just you know, what was that one tweet the NHL sent out a while ago? The no soap operas, just hockey. There's some soap operas. They just
big
don't want to admit it.
Big time. Bring on the drama is part of the fun. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
God, yeah.
Well, we'll have a pretty clear idea next week of what is happening in these playoffs, as we will by then most assuredly know who our final four are going to be. And we'll take a look, and who knows, I will probably have been really wrong on about three of these four matchups.
You and me both.
My previous bracket. So we'll check in on that next week once we know what's going on. And of course, as these award nominees continue to be announced, we'll check in on them and anything cool that happens to happen in the meantime. For people who want to find you, Tom, when you're talking about the Oilers and potentially Oilers sadness, where can they find you online?
At Tom Gazzola on Twitter, and you can catch me on TSN 1260 all week long, every week, talking that good stuff about Oilers sadness.
Awesome. And I am on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. This show's on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods, where you can keep up with all of the cool things happening across the network, not just from this show, but from all of our NHL shows and all of our team hosts and everything. And if you want to enjoy Los Angeles Kings sadness, you can also find me on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, debating what random child they're going to take with their okay draft pick. So we'll have all sorts of cool stuff for you guys coming up here on Locked On NHL. Make sure you're following the show, subscribe to the show, whatever you want to call it. Tell your friends all about it. Leave a rating, leave a review if you're enjoying what you're hearing, and make sure you come back tomorrow and every day this week for more hockey news here on Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.